All right, morning everyone. Welcome to the beginning of Masechet Chulin. We are page one today. Page one starts, of course, with Daf Beis, and we're going to begin. Chulin is a very, very large Masechet. It's 140 blot of discussion. Although, as we get towards the end, the Gemara is going to go into other areas of Halacha, not necessarily related to Shechting, but you know, things, the topics that just simply don't have a aren't big enough for its own masechta, and you know, kind of don't know where to put it. So you know, it ends up in the end of Chulin. Right, the mitzvah of Shiluach Haken, the mitzvah of Reishit Hagez. Okay.
It's Chulin because it's talking about eating something.
Yeah, they're connected. It's absolutely connected. Just you know,
perfect.
Okay, fine. The first two prakim of Chulin, which obviously is where we're going to be now, we're going to be in the first prakim of Chulin. First two prakim of Chulin are going to discuss the mitzvah of shechita. Shechting an animal provides permission to eat it. Is there an actual mitzvah to shecht an animal? So, you know, somewhat of a debatable topic, meaning we know that, right, we're carnivores. Not all of us. Some of us are vegetarians, and you have... Yeah, my sympathies, but but there is certainly the Torah gives an allowance to eat meat. There's I showed some of you this. There's an unbelievable sforno, really unbelievable, that gives an explanation as to why before the mabul, we weren't allowed to eat meat, and then after the mabul, then there's not a mitzvah, but you know, kind of like a need and an urgency to go ahead and to eat meat, and not for now, but later on, anyone's interested, I'll share with you what the Sforno has to say about that. Okay, kind of wild, but anyway, we know there's a general idea that we have this allowance to eat meat, and before we eat meat, we shecht an animal, and the shechting of the animal prepares the animal for consumption. It allows it permissible to eat. Now, when you shecht an animal, so two things happen when you shecht an animal. This is something that, just giving overview points, just to make sure everyone, we're all going to be on the same page. When you shecht an animal, two things happen when you shecht the animal. Number one is that you make the animal mutal achilat. Now you can eat the animal. You can't eat the animal while it's alive. While it's alive, there is an isser to eat the animal. What that isser actually is, we could say it in a couple of ways. We could say that it's a eiver min achai, right? Eating meat off of a live animal. We could also say that there's an isser of eino shchuta, right? Perhaps that there's a prohibition because it's not shecht an animal. Okay, but after you shecht it, so now you make it permissible to eat. Another thing that happens when you shecht it, and this is very important to understand and just to be aware of at all times, is that you prevent the animal from becoming a nevela. Meaning that if an animal dies without a proper shechita, so it's a nevela, right? We translate nevela as a carcass, but it's more than that. Nevela, it gives off tumma. Now, it's a source of tumma, it's an avatumma. So by giving it a proper shechita, so what you're doing is you're preventing the animal from being a nevela. And you have to understand that these are two distinct purposes of shechting. Number one, the permissibility to eat, and number two, preventing the animal from being a nevela. I'll give you a simple example of where you see one and not the other. Let's say, for example, the animal's a trefa, okay? Which means that one of the internal organs of the animal is punctured or severed, or you know, and that's fifth parak of Chulin. We're going to get to that later on and describe in detail, right, in very good detail, what exactly renders the animal a trefa. Let's say the animal's a trefa, which means that right now it's alive, but we know that because of an internal organ that was punctured or severed, so the animal's not going to live. Okay, now, you can give this animal a proper shechita, right? Right? Sever the neck and give it a proper shechita. It doesn't make it permissible to eat because the animal's a trefa. Meaning even after the animal has received a proper shechita, it's still a trefa. And so you're not allowed to eat it. Is the animal in the nevela? And the answer is no, it's not. Because by you giving it the proper shechita, you prevented the animal from being a nevela. So even though shechita there didn't allow you to eat the animal, shechita over there still prevented the animal from becoming a nevela. So please understand that when we talk about shechita, shechita really has a twofold purpose. Number one, the allowance to eat the animal, and two, preventing the animal from becoming a nevela.
In many occasions when we leave, we have to let the animal die by itself. That makes it a nevela?
Yep, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, the animal will be a nevela, source of tumma, yes. This nevela applies to all animals, and all carcasses of all animals are going to be giving off tumma.
Now, would a non-kosher animal be nevela even if you did a proper shechita, like a...
Oh, that's a good question.
What's the question?
All right, that's a good question. If I shecht a non-kosher animal, is it going to prevent it from being a nevela? I feel like I should know the answer to this, and I don't.
Maybe you shecht a non-kosher animal.
Just do the act of shechita. Do the act. A shechita is an act. It's a simple act. Okay.
No,
all right. I feel you stumped me, and I feel like I really should know that. Okay. On to other general points before we begin. Okay. On to other general points about the act of shechita. The act of shechita is really simple. It's really not that complex. It's simply take a sharp knife, and it doesn't even have to be metal. We'll talk about that this morning. It can be any sharp blade, and simply run it along the front of the neck of the animal. Okay, if you feel your own neck right now, you will feel that. A little kind of a hard substance. It's squeezable, but it's a hard substance. That's right. Right? It's don't squeeze too hard. You'll choke yourself. Okay, that's your trachea. Okay? And the trachea is primarily made up of cartilage. I know I sound like, you know, I sound like one of you people now. So the trachea is primarily made up of cartilage, and it's obviously made up of a harder substance because it's there to allow air to come in and come out. Okay, behind the trachea behind the trachea is the esophagus, and the act of shechita requires you to sever both of those pipes in a back and forth motion, meaning that one of the halachas, there are five of them, five halachas Moshe Misina, one of the halachas regarding shechita is that you cannot press the knife in. That is not a good shechita. In fact, that is a pasul shechita, that disqualifies a shechita. But in a back and forth motion, you run the knife back and forth, and in that back and forth motion, you sever those two pipes, the trachea and the esophagus. And by doing that, that's the act of shechita. It's really, that's it. It's that simple in terms of doing the act of shechita. We are going to be discussing over the course of the first two parakim more details in terms of what disqualifies a shechita. I alluded to, and now I'm not going to allude to it, I'm going to say it. There are five halach l'moshe misinai. There are five principles of shechita that we learned, not based on Torah Shebechtzah, but simply on Torah Shebaalpeh, on the oral tradition. Five things that disqualify the shechita. Over the course of the first two prakim, we're going to be discussing these five poslim, these five disqualifiers that will disqualify the shechita. One of them, which I already made allusion to, is to be dores, hadrasa. Whereas that means to take the knife, and instead of going in a back and forth motion, you press the knife in. So that's one disqualifier. The four others, we're going to see them over the course of the first two parakim. Okay, I think we're good. I think we can begin.
The act that actually I think kills the animal is not the trachea or the esophagus, because it's the carotid artery is there next.
Right. So we're going to talk more. The carotid artery discussion comes up later on in the Gemara. We're going to talk more. In fact, today in terms of when the animal's considered dead. Okay, it is a big discussion, major discussion that comes up in the Gemara. Tosfos talks about it on Amud Beis. We're going to talk about it a little bit later on this morning in terms of when do we state that the animal is actually dead. Okay, you'll see. We start with the Mishnah, and the Mishnah begins like this: Hakol shochtin u'shchitas an ksheira. Everyone shechts, and the shechita of done is going to be kosher. Chutz mecherishot v'katan, the people who cannot shecht are going to be cherishot v'katan. You're three people who lack mental faculty. Cherish is a deaf mute. Deaf mute, we assume, is just simply does not have mental faculty. Shot is someone who's deranged, and v'katan is a minor. Okay, someone who doesn't have mental faculty, but God willing, one day will have mental faculty. Right, that's the general story of a child. So shema yikalkulu, because we're afraid that if any one of them were to shecht, meaning cherishot v'katan, so they'll be mekalkel. They will upset the shechita because there's a number of things that could go wrong with shechita, and we're afraid because they just simply don't have enough mental faculty, they're going to do that to the animal. Shemi kalkulu shechita san. The kulin sheshechtu v'acherim ronos san shechita san kshera. And all of them, if they shecht, if they shecht and there is supervision, meaning somebody else is watching them shecht, so shechita san kshera, the shechita is going to be a kasher shechita. The Mishnah has a lot of problems in the Mishnah. I read it pretty quickly, and there are a lot of issues in the Mishnah. Let me highlight some of the issues in the Mishnah. And again, all these points are going to be raised by the Gemara, but I'm just kind of setting ourselves up for the Gemara. Number one is the first four words of the Mishnah. Hakol shochin, everybody shechts. Now the word hakol, Rashi tells us right away in the Mishnah, and you'll see in the Gemara, obviously means everybody. We're coming to include groups of people. Groups of people who you might have thought shouldn't be shechting, but the Mishnah there is saying hakol, everybody shechs, and even those people. Now, who those people are is going to be the topic of today and tomorrow, in terms of who are we referring to. But more fundamentally than that, hakol shechting sounds like they can do it, and they can do it afilu chatzchila, meaning it's not a second place, meaning as a first position, these people can shecht hakol shochtin, and then the Mishnah transitions awkwardly into the next two words, which shchita and kshera. Their shchita, if they shecht, it's a kasher shchita, right? Which definitely sounds bidyavid, sounds post facto, meaning we don't want them to shecht, but if they do so, it's okay. So right, immediately you realize the Mishnah, first four words of the Mishnah are basically running not parallel with one another. They kind of grind against each other. Hakol shochtin's lechatchila, and then shchitas and kshera. But if they shecht is kosher, that's b'di'evin. So immediately you sense that something's off with the Mishnah. The other things that we're going to point out is that last phrase of the Mishnah. The last phrase of the Mishnah, v'kulon sheshechtu, and all of these people who shecht, if they shecht, and others are watching them shecht, so then that's going to be good. Meaning that there's some group of people who, quite frankly, we're not sure who they are, where if they shecht and their supervision, it's going to be okay. Now, you would argue to me, hopefully you would argue to me, well, that's talking about the Chereshot of Akata, right? That sounds like a reasonable pshat in the Mishnah. The problem is that if the Mishnah were talking about Chereshot of Akata, the choice of language of the Mishnah would be somewhat different. Meaning the Mishnah would read something more like this: Chutz me'cherishot v'katan shema yakalkalu eshchita san. Then the next word should be v'im shachtu, something more like that, right? V'kulan sheshachtu, and all of them. And in other words, the Mishnah doesn't seem to be transitioning from one point to the next point. This seems to be going back to the first point of the Mishnah. Okay, so there's a lot of things that require more clarification in the Mishnah. Before we start with the Gemara, just an issue which we've been here before, we've done this issue before. We talked about it in Zvachim. Tosfos talks about it there. Tosfos talks about it here as well. Can women shecht? So the Mishnah does not utter a word about women shechting or women not shechting, and Tosfos brings down, in the name of Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, right, a work which is entitled The Laws of Eretz Yisrael. We know that this is authored by an interesting, I don't know what he is, a Rishon, an early Rishon, but his name is Eldad Hadani, right? One of the Rishonim who claims that he's not from the tribe of Yehuda, which is our claim to fame, or Binyamin, but rather he says that he's from Sheva Dan. Okay, in of itself interesting, right? He claims that he is one of the other tribe's members. Correct. We normally don't nobody makes the claim that they're from the other tribes, but he does. Anyway, so he writes a sefer called Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, and one of the things he writes is that women should not shecht. He writes it. Look, if you look at the top lines of Tosfos, Kasa Behilchas Eretz Yisrael, Danashim Lo Yishchetu, Mimnesha Da'atan Kalos. Right, so they're light-minded people, right? No offense, of course. None intended. And so therefore, they shouldn't shecht. So Tosfos goes on to point out that he totally disagrees with this position of the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. In fact, if you go back to the Gemara in Zvachim, when we did this, we talked about this, and you will see over there that it seems to be just the opposite, that women can in fact shecht. Not only that, well, we pointed out that women could shecht even kachim, right? Even karbanos. So if women could shecht karbanos, for sure they could shecht chulin. Okay, so Tosfos disagrees. And you look around, and you'll see most people take Tosfos' position that women can, in fact, shecht an animal. The Ramah, just one end note on this topic, the Ramah says that we don't recommend it. Meaning, Ashkenazic position is that women are not recommended to shecht. I believe even in the Sephardic communities, I don't know if really the women are for the forefront in terms of who is actually going to be shechting. But, okay, just a point of interest. Okay, let's start with the Gemara. Hakol shochtin lechatchila. So here the Gemara now is trying to iron out the Mishnah. And so we start off by pointing out that when the Mishnah starts off with the words Hakol Shochtin, that sounds like Chatchila. And then Ushchita San Kshera, but then the Mishnah transitions into the next two words, which is the Eved. That sounds B'di'evin. So Amalei Rav Acha Bar Rav LeRav Asha V'Kol Hakol LeChatchila Hu. Are you right? Meaning, is the premise of your question correct that every time we see the words Hakol, that means it has to be a din lechatchila alamiata? Let me give you an example of where it's certainly not lechatchila. The beginning of Temura, page 1 of Temura, which is coming up a short 4 months from now. But in the beginning of Temura, it starts off like this. Hakol ma'nirim. Echad ha'nashim ve'echad ha'nashim. Everyone can affect Temura. Now we know Temura, first of all, what is Temura? Temura is trying to exchange the Kedusha from one carbon to another carbon. The Torah says, Lo yimiranu. Torah says, don't do it. Ve'im ha'mir. I successfully butchered the pasuk, but the principal animal and the one that you attempted to exchange are both going to have kedusha. Now we know as a fact that you cannot do tamur lechatchila. In fact, not only can you not do tamur lechatchila, it's an iser, it's a prohibition to affect tamura. The Torah says lo yimirenu. Now, if you do it, it takes effect, which is the first discussion the Gemara and Temura has. But still, the point is that Temura is certainly not a din lechatchila. And yet, when you open up to page 1 of Masechta Temura, it's going to say, Hakol Mamirin. Everyone can affect Temura. That's not a lashon lechatchila. Hachinami de lechatchila uvaksiv lo yachli fenev lo yamir oso. Tov bera o rabba tov. The pasuk says very clearly that you cannot affect Temura. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right, but don't bring that Mishnah as any type of evidence. Hasam kediktani taima. Because if you go to that Mishnah, first Mishnah in Temura, and you just read on in the Mishnah couldn't be any clearer. Taima lo sha'adam rashay lahamir, elashim hamir mumar. So the Mishnah actually says, not that the person is allowed to affect Temura, but Im Hamir Mumar, but it works. So in other words, you know that Mishnah is not lechatchila because the Mishnah says it. Right? The Mishnah says it straight out. I'm sorry, Vesofe gets Arabim, and by the way, you get Malkus for affecting Temura. Temura, one of the three exceptions in the Torah where even though it doesn't require an action, you're still going to get Malkus. The general rule is that you don't get Malkus for verbal Isurim. You only get Malkus for action Isurim. Okay, and this is one of the three exceptions. But anyway, but the point is that if you read the Mishnah tells you that it's not a din lechatchila. But the Gemara says, but I'm still going to argue that every time you have a language of hakol, it is a din lechatchila. Okay, Ella, so the Gemara says, how about this? Consider the following. Page 1 of Erechin, right? We get to hit all the smaller mesechtas that are coming up later in Kachim. Ella hakol ma'arichim and erechim nodrim v'nidarin. So everyone can affect Erechin, can make Erechin, can be Ne'erach, can be the object of Erechin, can make a Neder, or Nidar could be the object of a Neder. Very quickly, the difference between Erechin and a Neder, right? When I say that person's Erech is upon me, so I'm giving his value to the Beis HaMikdash, but it's a fixed value. Torah gives everybody a fixed value based on your gender and based on your age, right? End of Parshas Bechu Kosai. When you talk about a neder, I want to give, right, I want to be noder, that person's value, so I actually, his value is based on what his market value would be, had he been sold on the market as a slave. Okay, but anyway, but the point is that I can make an erech neder, and I can make a regular neder, and the Mishnah over there says hakol. Now, you want to tell me that that's lechatchila? Nedarim in general. Is that lechatchila? Should we be making neders? And the answer isn't really no. Hachanami de lechatchila uvaksiv v'chisek dalin dor lo yebecha chait. The Torah says that if better not to make the neder so that you won't come to sin, because you know what happens when you make a neder. So now you're on the hook. You have to keep your pledge, and if you fail to do so, you violate the iser of not keeping your neder. And not only that, but the pasuk in Koheles actually spells it out. Tov asher lo sidor mishitidor velo tishalein. Better not to make a neder than having made a neder not pay. Now, of course, the best of them all is make the neder and pay. But the Mishnah, the Pasuk in Kohelet pretty much points out, you know what, the best thing to do is don't make the neder to begin with. And what's the story? You want to give something? So just give something. But without the neder, Vitanya. And Rabbi Meir actually takes the position that you shouldn't make a neder at all. Meaning, the Pasuk in Kohelet says, better that you shouldn't make a neder than make a neder and not pay. Rabbi Meir says, and I'm going to add one more point to that, better just not to make a neder at all. Right? Don't make a neder in general. Right? There's no point. And it's not that there's no point, it's a bad thing to do. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer told me Mizeh Noder Mishal. Now Rabbi Yehuda happens to disagree. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's good to make a neder, provided that you're going to pay the neder. The Afilu Rabbi Yehuda, but the Gemara even points out that even if we take the position of Rabbi Yehuda, Lokamer Ela Ba'omer Harezu, Aval Omer Are Alai Lo. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who likes Nedarim, but not really Neder, more like Nedava. Meaning, if I'm going to point to an item and say, this item is going to be consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash, and I have no personal liability, that Rabbi Yehuda is happy with. But to take upon yourself with personal liability, Rabbi Yehuda says in general, you know what, stay away from it. Okay, so what the Gemara now has presented us as one Mishnah, which clearly is not lechatchila. The first Mishnah in Erechin, of Hakol Ma'arichin v'Ne'arachin, Hakol Nojim v'Nidarim, that Mishnah is not lechatchila, right? The preferential position is not to make a neder at all. One piece of evidence, which is very clear, is that Mishnah. And that Mishnah, even though it uses the language of Hakol, is not lechatchila. So the Gemara says, V'chol Hakol lav lechatchila hu ela. The Gemara says, let's consider the following. Hakol chayavim b'sukkah. Hakol chayavim b'tzitzis. These are Mishnayos. Everyone's obligated in sukkah, and everyone's obligated in tzitzis. Now, that's certainly language of lechatchila, hachinami, the lav lechatchila. What do you want to tell me? That's not lechatchila, says the Gemara. The Gemara then says, no, but that's different. Chayavim lo kamina. No, but those are obligations, meaning those are mitzvos. Meaning, of course, when it comes to the world of sukkah and tzitzis, we're obligated to do that. So when it says hakol chayavim, of course it's a lashon of lechatchila, but that's talking about an obligation. We're not. We're talking about things which are not obligatory, like shechita, like nedarim, things that are not obligatory. So ela miata hakol samchem echan anashim ve'echan anashim. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll show you another Mishnah regarding smicha. And in the world of smicha, the Mishnah says hakol samchen, everyone does smicha, echad anashim ve'echad anashim, men and women can do smicha on an animal. So the Gemara says, and Rashi points out, by the way, that the hakol is coming to include a yorish as well. But anyway, but the point is that you see that hakol over there certainly means lechatchila. Okay, so the Gemara goes like this: in ika hakol lechatchila, the ika hakol di'evin. Okay, look. All right, when all the day is done and we've taken all the mishnayos that use the language of hakol, so you see some of the hakols in the mishnayos are lechatchila and some of them is b'di'evin. Okay, the Gemara says good. You know what? Okay, let's not do an analysis of all the Mishnayos. How about this? Just look at our Mishnah, meaning in a vacuum, without all the other Mishnayos. If you look at our Mishnah, and we already made this point once this morning, but we're going to make it again. The Gemara is now going to make the point. The Mishnah itself is confusing, because I'll read it inside the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Amalei ana shchitasan ksheira kashili." It's the next two words of the Mishnah that make me crazy. Why? Nidiktani shchitasan ksheira di'evin. Because look, how you want to explain the words hakol shochtin? Leave that alone for just a moment. Let's go to the next two words of the Mishnah. Next two words of the Mishnah are shchitasan ksheira. That's absolutely b'di'evit. There's no question about that. Whenever the Mishnah uses the language of shchitas and kshera, that's a language of b'di'evit. The hakol lechatchilahu. That means that the first two have to be lechatchila. Why? The eved, tarti the eved lamali. Because if the first two words of the Mishnah are b'di'eved, and it could be, meaning I'm not going to refute the fact that it could be, I've shown you examples elsewhere in the Mishnayos where it could be, but if here it's b'di'eved, so then the Mishnah is being redundant, and we don't want the Mishnah to be redundant. Right? A Mishnah does not like using extra words. It's a basic tenet when it comes to Mishnayos. We talk about this often. And over here, the Mishnahs just simply are not interested in using extra words. So when it says Hakol Shochtin, if it really meant B'di'eved, so then the next two words are superfluous. And if the whole point of the Mishnah is this is a group of people that can Shecht B'di'eved, it should just simply say Shechitas and Kshera. And that would be it. So Hakol Shochtin, by definition, has to be Lechatchila. Okay. So now, we set ourselves up. Let's make sure that we're all clear. The first two words of the Mishnah are called shochtin, meaning that there's a group of people that can shecht lechatchila. And when we say a group of people, we mean somebody who you may have thought shouldn't shecht, but he can shecht lechatchila. Then we move on to the next two words of the Mishnah, shchitas and ksheira. There's another group of people, or another scenario, where b'di'eved it's okay if they shecht. Okay. And so now what the Gemara is going to do for the remainder of today and for tomorrow is the Gemara is going to go through for us who we're talking about. Meaning now that we set ourselves up understanding the Mishnah correctly, the Hakol Shochtin is a din lechatchila, the Shechitas and Ksheira is a din b'di'eved, so who are we talking about? The Gemara is going to give us no less than 6 explanations of the Mishnah, right? Today we're only going to go through 1. Okay, so it's not so bad. Tomorrow we're going to go through another 5. 1, 2, 3... Yep. Tomorrow we're going to go through another 5. Okay, 6 possible explanations of what the Mishnah means when it says Hakol Shochtin. Okay, so Amar Rabba Bar Ula Hachikitani. So we start with number 1. First explanation of our Mishnah. Hakol Shochtin V'afilu Tamei Bechulin. Okay. Explanation number 1 is that when the Mishnah says Hakol Shochtin, it means even somebody who is Tamei. Okay. Somebody who's tamei and shechts an animal. Okay, let's make sure that we're clear about this. Okay. Food becomes tamei, right? We know that. We've discussed that many times throughout Shas, right? Food is susceptible to tumah. And let me ask you a very simple question, a very basic question. And food becomes tamei, so what? Right? So what? Meaning, right, we have a kohen here in this room, we have a resident kohen here in this room, but for the rest of us, we're not kohanim, right? And even for the kohen, to be quite frank and honest. But for the rest of us who are not kohanim, we eat food that becomes tamei. Is there an iser in doing so? No.
You just become tamei yourself.
And you becoming tamei, certainly on a daraisa level, that's not true. Meaning, you're not going to be able, a person can only contract tuma from a source, from an av. Right? The food, generally speaking, is not a source. If it's in the vela, by the way, so then the food itself is a source of tumah. But if the food just is tameh, became tameh, it's a vlad, you're not even going to become tameh. But even if it were true that you would become tameh, is there an iser to eat tameh food? No. Generally speaking, the answer is no. Right? Truma that becomes tameh, there is a prohibition. There's an iser minatorah for a kohen to eat truma, which is tameh. But for the rest of us, to eat chulin, non-consecrated food, which is what we're talking about, and what we will be talking about for the balance of this mesechta, right? If we eat it in a state of tumah, not the end of the world, right? Nishkeferach. Now, the first explanation of our Mishnah is that when it says hakol shochtin, it means even if the shochet is tamei, right? We'll talk about to what degree he's tamei and what kind of tumah, but leave those details out for just a moment. Even though that person's tamei and he shechts an animal, so that's still going to be okay. That's what the Mishnah means when it starts off by saying hakol shochtin, is that even if the person's tamei, he can shecht a non-consecrated animal. So the hakol shochtin v'afilu tamei bechulin. Tamei bechulin ma'ala me'emra bechulin shenazu al taras hakodesh. So the Gemara says, what's a chiddush? Meaning, the Gemara says, basically, so what? I need a Mishnah to tell me that? There's no big deal in having somebody who's tummy shechta a chulin, non-consecrated animal. So the Gemara says, okay, let's suggest the following chiddush. We happen to be of a certain community that tries to eat chulin al taharas hakodesh. You're going to see this expression a lot, right? She get comfortable with the expression, meaning that generally speaking, we like to try to train ourselves to eat in a state of tahara, right? This is what's called chulin shenasu al taharas hakodesh. Okay, so it is therefore our general tendency that we want to try to eat food in a state of tahara. The kasav chulin shenasu al taharas hakodesh kakodesh damu. So therefore we don't want our food to become tamei. Oh, okay, good. So in other words, the chiddush of our Mishnah is, I can have somebody tamei shecht, even though we're the type of people, we're the type of community who always needs food in a state of tahara. Okay? I guess for purposes of training, if you will. All right, good. So how do you do this now? How do you accomplish this? So the Gemara says, Ketzad huosa, maybe sakana rucha. So what you'll do is you have this tamei person, he'll take out a long knife, v'shochet ba k'dei shalo yiga bebasar, and so he'll shech the animal, and by having a long knife, he'll make sure he'll never have touched the meat. Okay. So far, so good? That's step one of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, ha'kol shochtin, we mean, who are we talking about? The tummy person shechting an animal, using a long knife, so he does not have to actually make physical contact with the animal, and that's a din l'chatchila. L'chatchila, he can do that. Okay. Now we move on to step two of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, shchitas an kshera. Who is that talking about? Uvim mukdashin lo yishcho shema yiga bebasar. That's talking about a carbon. Right. When it comes to a carbon, a tamei person should not shech l'chatchila. Because there is a legitimate concern that he's going to touch the animal. Now, if he touches the animal, that's bad. That disqualifies the animal. Because once the carbon is tamei, so that's it, you throw it out. The im shachar v'amar, bari li shelo nagati shchitas hakshera. But, even though lechatchila he should not shecht, but bidyavid, this is step two of the Mishnah, bidyavid, if he shechts the carbon, shchitas hakshera, the shchita is going to be kasher. And even if there are no other people that see it, meaning if all we have is just simply his testimony, and he says, I'm sure I didn't touch it, so then it would be okay. It would be a shchita kshera. Okay, anyone ready to ask me the obvious question over here? Right?
Want it.
Well, no, I'm saying, right, no.
It's one of those cases that you just want it, just because when you want it, like a woman.
Okay, right. Edech and Neman B'Surin, fine. Fine. A simple question. Not even a brain teaser. Just a really simple question.
How's he getting in there?
Yeah. How's he shechting?
We discussed it in Zavacha with a long knife.
Right. We discussed it. Maybe he's got a long knife. Maybe he's standing outside the Azara. Right. Or it could be right. Some Rishonim say this. Not Rashi over here, but some Rishonim say it could be that the Mishnah is just not dealing with the Tumah aspect of him being in the base of Mikdash. Okay, but it's right, just important to recognize that this person who's tummy, who's shechting carbon, shouldn't even be in the Azar to begin with. Okay, now, so far so good, now we move on to the next part of the Mishnah. Chutz me sheir cherishot v'katan, dafil b'chulin greedy di'evin namilau, shema yishu, shema yidrusu, shema yachalidu. Now, when it comes to cherishot v'katan, they never should shecht. Under no circumstances should they shecht. Right? Why? So here, we're going to be introduced to three of the five. The Gemara says, because if cherishot v'katan, these are people who don't have their mental faculties, and therefore are not coordinated enough to do a shechita, so maybe shema yeshu, they're going to do shehiya. Shehiya is the following. You take your knife, you run it up against the neck of the animal, and you pause. You stop in the middle of the shechita process. Okay? That's called shehiya. Shema yidrusu. Yidrusu is what we described earlier. Instead of going in a back and forth motion, you press the knife into the neck of the animal. Or shema yachalidu. Yachalidu is that you insert the knife into the neck of the animal, shecht one siman while the knife is covered. Okay. We'll do more of hachlada later on. And I'll explain it better later on. Anyway, but the point is that it's very easy for them to just simply ruin the shechita. They don't know what they're doing. and they don't have the mental faculty. Now, we'll go into the last part of the Mishnah. Okay? So far, just quick review. Point one of the Mishnah, lechatchila, that's a tummy person shechting chulin. Step two of the Mishnah, b'di'evan, that's a tummy person shechting a karban. Shouldn't do it, but if he did it, it's okay, b'di'evan. Provided that he says that he didn't touch the karban. Step three of the Mishnah, chereshot v'katan, can't shecht at all. Okay, now we move on to the last step of the Mishnah. The kulan sheshachtu, ahaya. Now that last line of the Mishnah, that tells us that if they shecht, who that they are, we'll see in just a moment, but if they shecht and their supervision, meaning someone standing over the shoulder and watching them, so then that shechita would be okay. So who's that going on? So ilem echereshot v'katan, alakai. If we're talking about the echereshot v'katan, im shechtu mi ba'ilei. The Mishnah should have transitioned and just should have simply said v'im shachtu, and the Mishnah doesn't do that. Ela atame b'chulin, so it must be talking about atame person shachting b'chulin. The Gemara says, but no, amart hamart lechatchila, nami shachet. But yeah, but didn't you tell me that if we're talking about atame person shachting b'chulin, so that could be done even lechatchila. Ve'ela atame b'mukdashin, so the Gemara says, and well, it must be talking about atame person shachting a karban. The Gemara says, but didn't you tell me, babari li sagile, that it's enough if he just simply said, I'm sure I didn't touch the meat? Delaysa kaman, dinishaile. So the Gemara answers, he shechted and ran. Shechted and ran, and then we don't know, did he touch the meat? Did he not touch the meat? So if he's not available, so if somebody else comes along and says, I was there, I was watching the whole thing, he did not touch the meat, that would be sufficient. Okay, good. Okay, let's quickly wrap up the Gemara, and then I'm going to discuss a couple more points, and we'll finish for today. The Gemara points out, you're telling me that our Mishnah Chulin, the first Mishnah Chulin, is teaching us a law about shechting a karban. We did that already. I mean, we covered that. In Zvachim, call up Tzulun Sheshachtu Shechitas and Ksherah, Shashchit and Ksherah Bezarim, Benashim Vavadim, Uvitmeim Vafilu Bekachi Kachim, Uvavashalo Yitmeim Nogim Bebasar. The Mishnah Zvachim basically made this very point. So in other words, I have a Mishnah here in Chulin. Now the Mishnah is vague and ambiguous, and even a little contradictory. So in order to explain the Mishnah, now we have provided a Pshat in the Mishnah, but the Pshat that we just provide in the Mishnah is really a Mishnah Zvachim. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So what's going on? So the Gemara says very simply, Hacha Iker Hasam, I did the Tanishar Psulim Taninami, Tamim Ben Mukdashim. So the Gemara says, well, here, this is a main location. Meaning, we're learning Chulin right now. So you want to talk about the laws of Shechita, this is really the main place to be. There, it came as an ancillary point. But here's the main location. Ibai Sema. Or, the Gemara says, no. Maybe we could just explain it like this. There in Zvachim, we're talking about karbanos. Here in Chulin, we're talking about non-karbanos. The main point of our Mishnah is that a tummy person can shech Chulin. As long as we're talking about that, we'll also talk about a tummy person shechting a karban. Okay. But that just, in other words, it's a secondary point that really came off the primary point. Hi, Tommy. Okay, fine. Okay, good. All right. So we are almost finishing up with pshat number one in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you can shecht lechatchila. It's talking about a tummy person shechting chulin, even though the chulin is eaten al taras hakodesh. The second part of the Mishnah, which says shechitas and ksher, is talking about a tummy person shechting a karban. Shouldn't do it, but b'di'evid, it's okay, provided he doesn't touch the meat. Okay. One more point, and then we wrap up. We wrap up the first explanation of our Mishnah. Hai tami din me b'mai. Okay, technical question. This person is tami. How exactly is he tami? The Gemara says it's important. Ilem din me b'mai. So the Gemara says, what happened? Did he come into contact with a dead body? So that means now he's an avatama, right? And he's an avatama that is tami meis. Now let's think this through. He's holding a knife in his hand. Okay. The knife we're going to assume right now is a metal object. Now, in the world of Tumas Meis, it's an interesting phenomenon. Normally, when we transfer Tuma from one item to another item, it always drops a level. So if you're Tumay, so the object you're holding, whatever object that may be, is going to be one step down from where you are. So usually, you're an avatama, so the item you touch is going to be a rishon l'tuma. Okay. In the world of metal and tumas mace, metal is a perfect conductor of the tuma, so that the metal that you're touching is going to be the same degree of tuma as you. Okay.
What if has a wooden handle?
So you may be okay. Assuming that we could separate the wooden handle from the metal knife, in other words, and we'll treat them as two separate items. Okay.
If there's a chatzitza, like a...
Or you're holding something. But the Gemara just is assuming right now you're holding a metal knife in your hand. Right. So the Gemara says, Ilema diz me b'meish b'chalal cherev amarechmana cherev harehu kechalal av hatumahu. So not only are you an avatuma, but the knife is an avatuma. Litme l'sakin. So now the sakin is an avatuma. V'azul sakin v'timatela basar. And now, well, you know what's going to happen. So now the basar is going to be tamei. Okay, because the meat came into contact with a knife, and the knife is an avatuma. Now, this is important to realize. If the knife were not an avatuma, everything would be fine.
Because
you would be a source, the knife would only be a rishon,
sheni.
And the food would be a sheni.
But isn't Shani still?
Yeah, Shani still is possible. Certainly by Karbanos, it'll still disqualify the Karbanos. Okay.
We can go up to the Revi, right?
Yeah, by Karbanos we can go up to Revi. Okay. So the so that's going to be an issue. So Avatamahu lit milasakim ba'asal sakim v'titam labasar. Ela di'id me b'sheret. So the Gemara says very simply, the tumah that we must be talking about is tumah sheret. The Ibai Seima.
Sheret is Rishon or Av?
Sheret is an Av. And by you touching the sheretz, you're only a rishon l'tumah.
You're a rishon
and
the knife.
And the knife is a knife is nothing.
The knife is nothing.
Yeah,
right.
Because it's a kli. A kli can only become tummy when it comes into contact with an avatumah. At least on a daraisa level. Okay.
A kli cannot be a sheni l'tumah.
Right. Correct. Or the Gemara says ibay yisema la'olam de'idma b'meis. So the Gemara says, or we can go back to maybe assuming that you're a tamei mace, and now how does the meat not become tamei? Kagon shebada krumi shalkana. Maybe you shechted not using a metal blade, but using a very sharp reed, right? Vishacha baditanya. In fact, we're going to learn later on the kol shochtim bein betzur bein betzuchis bein bekrumi shalkana. You can shecht with a reed, meaning it does not have to be a metal item. It has to just simply be sharp. It could be glass. It could be a rock. It could be wood. You can shecht as long as it is a smooth and sharp item. So if that's true, so now even if you're an avatuma, so the kli that you're touching is not going to be the same avatuma. It's only going to be dropping down to a rishon l'tuma. Okay, a couple of issues I want to discuss, and then we'll break for today. Okay, so that is it. We have now learned the Mishnah and Chulin, the first Mishnah and Chulin. The problem with the Mishnah, how the Mishnah goes, lechatchila to b'di'evin, to then an issue of supervision. And we've covered one of many pshatim that we're going to see over the course of tomorrow. And that is that the first part of the Mishnah is atamei keshech to karbon. Then we move on to the next part of the Mishnah that lechatchila shouldn't. Let me do that again. The first part of the Mishnah is that a tame keshecht chulin lechatchila, okay, as long right, even if we want the meat to remain tahor, that's okay as long as he doesn't touch the meat. Two, the b'di'evit is he shouldn't shecht a karbon. What he's doing in the azara to begin with is in of itself an issue, but he shouldn't do it. But b'di'evit, if he says I didn't touch the meat, then that's okay. And then the last part of the Mishnah that says that if there's supervision, that's okay. That's talking about a case where he shafted and he ran away. And we don't know what happened. And somebody else can come along and report to us that it's okay, he didn't touch the meat. Okay. What do I want to discuss? Two things I want to discuss. And then we will break for today. Number one, the Tosvos uvemugdashem lo yishchot shema yiga babasar. Okay? A lot of things too we could discuss. Again, we're only just scratching the surface over here. But just some big issues I want to discuss. The Tosos is on base. I'm at base. It's halfway down the page. Over Magdash lo yishko shema yiga babasar. Alpha gav darmin lekamen demefarcheses harikachaya. Okay. Tosfos over here deals with the following scenario, the following issue, and it's a big issue to discuss. You shecht an animal. Okay, I described shechita in a very, very rudimentary way this morning, and that is by severing the trachea and the esophagus. Right, in Lashon HaKodesh, it's called the kana and the vesht, the trachea and the esophagus. Okay, and once you cut that, the animal's dead. Is the animal dead right away? I'm talking legally. Okay, I'm not talking biologically. I'm not talking about medically. I'm talking about legally. Right? In other words, I know it's very popular to discuss this now, but in the world of Shechita, I'm not discussing humans, but in the world of Shechita, what's the definition of death? When is the animal dead? Okay? So, Tosus over here points out that we're gonna speak about this later in the Masechta, much later in the Masechta, Dimefarcheses, that after you Shechta, the animal then starts spasming. Okay? And the we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, Mefarcheses Hari Kechaya, that while it's spasming, it's legally still alive.
So a chicken with his head cut off.
Chicken with his head cut off, an animal, right, that spasms right after you Shechta, is legally still alive. Okay. And here, interestingly enough, and obviously, when it finishes spasming, so then it's dead, and so now you can go ahead and you can eat it. But the point is like this. Here, in our discussion, that's actually a good thing. Why? Because we're discussing now the possibility of shechting an animal, and the person who's shechting happens to be Tameh, and we're worried that, well, he's going to transfer his tumah to the animal. Okay. Does tumah transfer to a live animal? The answer is absolutely not. Right? I like to talk in absolute terms, right? Especially when there's so much machlok is going on, but no. You don't transfer tumah to a live animal. You can only transfer tumah to the meat of the animal after the animal's dead. Okay. So, if that's true, that while the animal's spasming, the animal's still alive, so now Tosfos is bothered by a really simple question.
So
in other words, so what if he's tameh nishechs? The animal's still alive. Chayshinan shema yiga acha pirchos. So now we're really going to relook at our entire discussion of the Gemara that we had this morning. Our whole chashash is just that he's going to touch the animal after it finishes spasming. Oh, okay, fine. It's interesting, by the way, because now we talk about the knife and the metal knife, and I don't know, meaning if you shech the animal and you get and the knife and you take the away knife before the animal finishes spasming, right, you didn't transfer any tumah to the animal. Okay, so it's just an important point to realize, when is the animal considered legally dead?
Whose position is this?
Huh?
Whose position is this?
This is a Gemara later on in the Masechta.
Accepted one?
Inami, the right? Tosfos points out, alternatively, what you could say is, Dafka le'inyin hamadava aracha havia kechaya. Aval le'inyin tumah, kevishashach eshtayim, or rav shtayim, mekabelas tumah dechashiv ochel. Or Tosfos points out that even though the Gemara later on says that the animal's alive while it's spasming, that's not in terms of when the animal's considered food. Meaning, maybe it's considered food the moment you finished severing the two pipes. Even though it's spasming, it's considered food at that point in time. Or, when I say considered food, right, what I really mean is it's considered dead at that moment in time. So Tosfos says maybe that's And the Mishnah over there that talks about the animal being alive, that's only in terms of hamad of aracha, evaluating the animal. Okay, a discussion for later on. Now, if that's true, so then that means then that the animal is considered dead the moment that you actually finish severing the two pipes. Okay, so in this one Tosfos you have what really is a basic machlokas in terms of when the animal is considered dead. When it finishes spasming, or the moment that you finish cutting the two pipes. Okay, so you'll ask me, it's one of the most basic questions that we're going to deal with the first day of Chulin, when do we consider the animal to be dead? And so in this one little Tosfos, it's really a debate. It's a debate in terms of when do we regard the animal to be actually dead. We'll stop over here. One other point I wanted to cover, but maybe I'll do it at the beginning of tomorrow morning. Okay, welcome to Chulin, everybody. More that we're going to cover. Everyone have a wonderful day.